Be still, there is a healer. I have to believe if there could have been a song written by this individual we'll talk about today, that would have been his song. This would have been his testimony of what God did through his son Jesus Christ in his life. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Luke again, Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse number 12. And then also if you'll have chapter 17 marked as well. I want to read that story, two stories about lepers. We're going to read about these guys and want to kind of go back and just give you an idea of what that might have looked like, what it would have felt like, what it would have sounded like in the life. And so just to kind of give you an idea of what this guy's life might have been like. We've talked about several men and women over these last several weeks together. We come to another one today to talk about this idea of disease. What Jesus did on earth when he came up against disease. We're going to talk about what was called then the untouchables. Those that were outcast, those that were sent away from society because of the disease called leprosy, which was very contagious. The moment that something happened along this regard, the person was banished forever to often what was called leper colonies. We might call it today's version, or once not quite as bad now, but the HIV/AIDS community was once thought as a modern-day leprosy. Untouchables, those that were to be avoided, those that you stayed away from. Yet we find with our Savior, just like he did in every other circumstance, he didn't do what the world said he should do. He didn't do what society said should be done. Instead, he went across those norms, if you will, and crosses the boundaries and does what we would call the unthinkable. He does and approaches the untouchables. And before we think that we don't really have a lot to learn because we think that we're not an untouchable, we'll find in just a moment we compare the idea of leprosy to sin, that the parallels are striking. Then in reality, all of us, spiritually speaking, are untouchables. For sin has been a part of our lives. We find Jesus coming up against disease, and when he came up against disease, everything changed. And so we'll look at the 180 moment for this leper and what Jesus did in his life. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse number 12, we find this story. It's brief, so I'll just let you remain seated this morning. It says this, "And it came about that while he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest, make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, for a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even further, and great multitudes were gathering to hear him to be healed of their sickness." Mark's account of this same story, I just need to read this last little section. Just listen to what it says here. Mark records the same story in Mark chapter 1. And in Mark chapter 1, we read what the guy does, he's healed. Listen to what happens. Same story, except the end part says, Jesus commanded him, don't tell anybody. But in verse 45 of chapter 1, he says this, "But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news about to such an extent." Listen to what happened. Listen to one man's testimony. He spread the word so much so that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in the unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Now, dear friends, let me just give you a word. And I'm going to rob the end of my sermon. Let me just ask you this question right out of the gate. Would it be possible that we would declare Jesus so much so at Petal First Baptist that they couldn't fit in the building? That our lives would provide such an impact of change and of transformation and of living out the gospel in our daily lives that people are so drawn to it. They're so amazed by what God has done in our lives and how he has changed us from the inside out, that they couldn't fit in the building. That's what happened with this guy. He tells this incredible story. They knew he had leprosy and it changed. Chapter 17, verse 11. A little bit different story. This time it's 10 lepers. And it came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, the 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, because they couldn't approach him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And it came about as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Father, would you speak deeply into our lives with the power of the Holy Spirit? Lord, not because of me, but because of you. Father, I just want to be a vessel. An imperfect one, an unworthy one. But Lord, one that I pray you could speak clearly through. And we come to the end of this message time, we would find there would be a moment of response in our lives. Lord, you would show us what it is we need to do, what needs to change in our lives. May you give us ears to hear, a heart to respond, feet to put into action what you call us to do. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For 5 years, no one touched me. No one. Not one person. Not my wife, not my child, not my friends. No one touched me. They saw me. They spoke to me. I sensed the love in their voices and saw concern in their eyes, but I didn't feel their touch. There was no touch, not one. No one touched me. What you and I would call common, I coveted a handshake, a warm embrace, a tap on the shoulder to get my attention, a kiss on the lips to steal a heart. Such moments were taken from my world. No one touched me. No one even bumped into me. What I would have given for someone to have bumped into me in a crowd and to brush against my shoulder. But for 5 years, it's not happened. But how could it? You see, for the last 5 years, I wasn't even allowed in the streets. Even the rabbis would keep their distance from me. I was, of course, not permitted in the synagogue, nor was I allowed in my own city. I was untouchable. And no one has touched me for 5 years until today. See, 1 year, 5 years ago, during the harvest, I grabbed my tools and the tip of my fingers were numbed. First one finger, then another, and with a short time I could no longer grip a tool and could barely even feel it. By the end of the season was over, I felt nothing at all. The hand that was grasping the handle might as well have belonged to somebody else. The feeling was completely gone. I said nothing to my wife, but she suspected something was wrong. How could she not? I carried my hand against me like I was a wounded bird. One afternoon, I plunged my hands into a basin of water intending to wash my face, and the water reddened. My finger was bleeding freely, and I didn't even know it. How did I cut myself? What had I done? My wife said softly, "It's on your clothes, too." She saw the crimson spots all over my robe. And for the longest time, all I could do was stare at my hands, knowing that my life was being forever altered. Should I go tell the priest? No, I'll go alone. I turned and looked her into her eyes, tears down her cheeks. Standing next to her was our 3-year-old daughter. Squatting, I gazed into her face. I stroked her cheek, saying nothing. What could I say? She touched my shoulder, and with my good hand, I touched hers. It would be our final touch. 5 years have passed since that dreaded day. And no one has touched me until today. You see, the priest didn't touch me. He looked at my hand. It was wrapped in a rag. He looked at my face, now shattered in sorrow. I never faulted him for what he said. He did only what he was called to do. He simply said these terrible words, "You are unclean." And with one pronouncement, I lost my family, my farm, my future, and my friends. My wife met me at the city gate with a sack of clothing and bread and coins. She did not speak. But by now, friends had gathered, and what I saw in their eyes was simply a foreshadowing of what was to come in every eye since. Fear and pity. As I stepped out, they stepped back. Their horror of my disease was greater than their concern for my heart. And so they and everyone else simply stepped back. I was repulsive to those who saw me. 5 years of leprosy have left my hands gnarled. Tips of my fingers were missing, as were portions of my ear and my nose. At the sight of me, fathers grabbed their children and mothers covered their face and children pointed and stared. The rags on my body could not hide my sores, nor could the wrap on my face hide the rage in my eyes. I even quit hiding it. At night, I would shake my crippled fist into the sky. What did I do to deserve this? But only silence. Some think I sinned. Some think my parents sinned. I don't know. All I know is I grew so tired of it all, sleeping in the colony, smelling the stench of death. I grew so tired of the bell that I was required to wear around my neck to warn people of my presence, as if I needed one. One glance and the announcements began to run through the crowd, unclean, unclean, unclean. Several weeks ago, I dared to enter the road to my village. I had no intent of entering. Heaven knows, I only wanted to look again upon my fields, gaze upon my home, and maybe see the face of my wife. I did not see her, but I saw some children playing in a pasture, and I hid behind a tree and watched them run around and play. Their faces were so joyful and full of laughter. So contagious for just a moment. I wasn't a leper. I was just a farmer, a father, and a man. Overcome with happiness, I stepped out from behind the tree and straightened my back and breathed deeply. And then they saw me. Before I could retreat, they screamed. They scattered. One paused and looked. And I don't know. I can't say for sure. But I think that may have been my daughter. I think she was looking for her father. You see her look? That is what made me step out today. I know it was reckless and it was risky, but what did I have to lose? This guy called himself God's son. Either he will hear my complaint or kill me. Or accept my demands and heal me. Those are my thoughts. I came to him as a defiant man, moved not by faith necessarily, but desperate anger. God had wrought this calamity on my body, and either he would fix it or kill me. But then I saw him. And when I saw him, I was changed. I have a hard time putting the words to describe what I saw. But when I looked into his face, into his eyes, everything melted away. Before he spoke, I knew that he cared. Somehow I knew that he hated this disease as much as I do. No more than I do. He hated it. All of a sudden, my rage melted into trust and my anger became hope. And so from behind a rock, I watched him come down a hill, people all around him. And before I knew it, I yelled out, "Master!" And he stopped and looked in my direction, as did dozens of others. A flood of fear swept across the crowd, and arms flew in front of faces. Children ducked behind their parents, and somebody began to cry out, "Unclean!" I even didn't even hear them. I had heard it so many times. But Jesus' compassion. Everyone stepped back but him. Instead of stepping away, he stepped towards me. 5 years ago, my wife had stepped towards me. She was the last to do so. Now he did. And I couldn't move. I just said, "Lord, if you can heal me, if you will." Had he healed me with the word, I would have been thrilled. Had he cured me with a prayer, I would have rejoiced. But he wasn't satisfied to simply speak to me. He drew near to me. He touched me. 5 years ago, my wife had touched me. No one had touched me since until today. "I will," Jesus said. His words were as tender as his touch. And he said, "Be healed." Energy flooded my body like a water through a furrowed field. And in an instant, I felt warm into areas I had not felt in years. My back straightened, my head lifted. What had been an eye level with his belt, I now stood level with his face to see it smile. He cupped my hands in his cheeks and drew me so near I could feel the warmth of his breath and see the wetness in his eyes. Don't tell anyone about this, but go show yourself to the priest. Offer the gift Moses commanded for the people who are made well. And this will show the people what I've done. So that is where I'm going. I will show myself to the priest and embrace him. I will show myself to my wife and I will embrace her. And I will pick up my daughter and embrace her. I will never forget the one who dared to touch me. He could have healed me with a word. But he dared to touch me. You see, he wanted to do more than just heal me. He wanted to honor me, to validate me. Imagine that. Unworthy of the touch of man, yet worthy of the touch of God. Dear friends, that could be a story behind the lines of the leper. You see, we know some things about the leper, though, from what we read in Scripture. On your outline, just a couple of things quickly. Number one, we notice this about this leper. Number one, he was devastated. He was devastated. I wrote this statement down, can you imagine? And then I would have to say, no, we really can't. We really can't imagine the devastation of this dreaded disease. It robbed a person of their life. It would kill them eventually. It was contagious. And so their lives were over. Secondly, we find out he was despised. Now, we don't know if these two stories are the same. We're not really sure. But in one of the stories, we know for certain that the man was a Samaritan. Not only was he a Samaritan, he was a leper. And on top of that, he was a sinner. The Jews didn't like Samaritans. They certainly didn't like lepers. And they certainly didn't like sinners. So as a result, the third thing, he was distanced. He was isolated. He was a complete outcast in every way. The only way they can deal with disease was to isolate these people, put them far outside the cities and make them stay far away so nobody could catch the disease. Fourthly, he was dead spiritually and dying physically. We talk about having a bad day. Boy, this guy was having a bad day. He was already dead spiritually, but now on top of that, he was dying physically. And we talk about this idea of dead spiritually. We find these four comparisons and maybe others as well that would remind us that this picture of physical leprosy is much like the sin of leprosy. The sin leprosy, if you want to call it that, spiritually speaking. You see, with leprosy, though it showed on the skin, on the surface, what was happening was on the inside, the body was literally, this is gross, but it was rotting from the inside out, this disease was. And so that it was skin deep, so it appeared we find that the roots were far greater. It's kind of like a skin cancer when people, some of you may have had skin cancers cut out. They don't just cut the top off, they have to dig down and get out the cancer that has gone deep into the skin. Folks, that is the same way sin is. We look on the surface, it doesn't seem like that big a deal, but it has deep, very, very difficult and very terrible consequences. Secondly, it spreads to every part of our lives. That's what leprosy did. It spread from a finger to hands, to the body, to the feet, to the head, to the face. Sin is a disease. It spreads everywhere and affects every part of our lives. Thirdly, it defiles and isolates us. They were unclean. Thus, they had to be isolated. Folks, as a sinner, we are defiled before a holy God. And we are outcasts without Jesus. And those things that a leper wore were eventually burned. They could never be washed. That's why they just wore rags. Sin is only fit for the fire. You see, there's some great comparisons of the two together, sin and leprosy. You see, some this morning, maybe you find yourself at the real point is that wow, I have this sin. We might call it leprosy in our lives. Notice the fifth thing about this man. He was desperate. He was desperate. He was willing to come to Jesus even though it was forbidden. Now he calls from a distance, but at least he was willing to call. We meet so many who we are embarrassed. We think that we're not worthy to come to Jesus. We have this problem and that issue and that another issue, and I have this hang up and that, and so I can't come to Jesus. But this man was desperate. Folks, my question would be to you and to me, how desperate are we for Jesus? How desperate are we for the touch of Jesus in our lives? And if we're really that desperate, we'll stop at nothing to get to Jesus. Nothing. Oh, dear friends, will we be desperate like this leper? And notice the last, he drew near. He drew near. Jesus invited him to come. He comes to Jesus with confidence. Lord, I believe you can heal me. I know you can. He comes with reverence and devotion and worship as he falls on his face before Jesus. He comes with humility. Lord, if you are willing, the 10 lepers, please have pity on us. Not, you better heal us. You should. We deserve it. Would you? He came with faith. The real question is not, will Jesus just heal us physically, was their question, but spiritually. The leper knew in his mind what he had seen, that Jesus was able to heal him. The question in his mind, and really in the minds of many today, is, will he really heal me? Does he even want to heal me? Not just physically, but spiritually. More important, spiritually. God is not willing that any sinner should perish, but that all would come to eternal life and surrender their hearts and lives to him. How do we come to Jesus? The same way the leper came. We come with humility. We come with faith. We come with confidence, knowing that he can save us, and with great reverence, and say, Lord, would you save me? Notice what Jesus does. And by the way, he always does this. Jesus had compassion on him. Compassion. Not just pity, dear friends, for pity were like many in the crowd that day. They just felt sorry for him. Oh man, that's a shame. Boy, I would hate if that were me. No. It's the word empathy. When you can empathize. How? Because you put yourselves in the shoes that they are in. Now, some of us are able to do this in certain areas of our life because we've walked through painful situations. And we are able to literally say, I know how you feel. And I want to walk with you and help you and encourage you in this journey. But even if we don't understand, we can still have compassion on people. Not just feel sorry for them, but to love them and to encourage them and to help them and come alongside of them and help bear their burdens. To not judge them or exclude them or ignore them. Secondly, he spoke to them like they were people, not like they were untouchables. Like they were people. We speak to people. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we speak down to people. We think we're better than others. Jesus didn't. Thirdly, he touched them. It's an old song. It's an old Gaither classic. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Know the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Listen, that is what Jesus will do for you and for me. If we will but ask. Folks, when he touched this leper in particular, he was made whole. He was healed. It was immediate. It was instantaneous. In the story of the 10 lepers, they didn't heal them right that moment. It was as they went and acted upon what they heard, they were healed. He required them to follow the law. Very important to note. This is very important because people would say, well, Jesus came to break the law. No. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. Go show yourself to the priest. They will declare you clean. Notice he tells in the story of the leper coming back, he says, your faith has made you whole. It's made you whole. Some of you, you remember the day you found Christ. And maybe before those moments, especially if you were an adult, not as much as when we were children, we don't quite grasp this concept yet, but especially as an adult, we often hear people say, something was missing. I was empty. I wasn't complete. But when Jesus touched my life, I was made what? Whole. My life made sense. My life was together. The 180 moment, four things. Number one, he was healed. Jesus is or was the great physician, and dear friends, he still is the great physician. Jesus is still in the healing business today. Now, I would caution you, I don't believe that Jesus is in the healing business most of the time, in the sense like it is portrayed many times on television. It's not Jesus' way to be so grandiose and such a production, if you will. I believe it happens in quiet moments where people of genuine faith pray, and God in His sovereignty chooses to heal some. I've seen it. You've seen it. Stage 4, cancer, healed. Amazing. I wear a bracelet to remind me the miracle of God of my dear little girl, Liliana Thompson. In fact, she's having another biopsy tomorrow. They told her she had her 2 transplants. They said, we can do no more. She is done. We've done all we can do. Somehow they decided to try a 3rd and found a perfect match. And that sweet little girl, now 1.5 years later, is alive and well. How? Because God did it. Dear friends, it's not chemotherapy. It's not drugs. It's not doctors and nurses, though God uses all those things to accomplish His will. But listen, dear friends, it is the great physician. He created our bodies. He's the only one who can heal them, right? Don't get this impression that God only did miracles in the Old Testament or the New Testament. God is still in miracle business today. And by the way, last Sunday morning after church was over, we saw God do 3 miracles. As grand and as great as healing the child, a 3-year-old child of leukemia. 3 children came and found Chris after and said, I want to follow Christ. That is a miracle. Now some would ask, we don't have time to get into this service, but what about those God doesn't choose to heal? Well, let me give you the short answer. All right? I don't know. Isn't that good? Does that make you feel better? Preacher, you're supposed to know those answers. I don't. And if anybody tells you they do, then they're not telling the truth, because we don't know this side of heaven. I wrestle with this question from time to time when I think about my dad. When I think about people that I've loved and cared for. I think to myself, why not let some evil person like Saddam Hussein get cancer? Why my dad? Why your relative? Why your friend? Why your father or mother or sister or brother? Why? Why your children? I don't have that answer. But I still believe Jesus is the great physician. And I still believe Jesus is capable of healing. And in fact, I believe this, that my dad was healed. Forever. Forever. Cancer will never touch his body ever again. I will never lose another sleepless night wondering, what will the diagnosis be? Oh, I do miss him. But I'm reminded that Jesus is the ultimate healer. And I lift my hands to believe again. That you are my refuge, you are my strength. He was healed. Secondly, notice this, he was thankful. 9 of the guys don't come back. 1 comes back in our second story. Oh, we live in a thankless generation, don't we? People expect things. You owe me. I'm due this. Dear teenagers, students, children, listen to me carefully. You are the most precious, spoiled generation in history. You have everything you want for the most part. Little is denied you. And as a result, you expect things. And dear friends, be reminded how thankful we should be to our Savior. Where would you and I be without the healing touch of Jesus? Well, how do you know he was thankful? Well, we'll talk about it in a second. The third thing we know is he was saved. He was born again. Not only physically, but most importantly, spiritually. Many of those who encountered Christ, the Bible says they were made whole. Now, there were some who certainly came to Jesus just so they could get a miracle. And they walked away unchanged. But many who found Christ, they were not only made whole physically, but made whole spiritually. This guy was. Well, how do you know that, preacher? The last point. He became a witness. Mark's account and also Luke's tells the man specifically, do not tell anyone except the priest what I have done. So he goes, he tells the priest, and he raises such a ruckus about Jesus. He tells so many people that the word began to spread so quickly. This is in Mark chapter 1. This is early in Jesus' ministry, evidently, that he could not even enter large towns unless he did it quietly in secret. Because the people thronged around him. We get the idea. We talked about Jairus, his daughter, when he was going on the way there. We get the idea that everywhere Jesus went, there were constantly people around him. Interestingly, Jesus tells us to tell everybody, and we're quiet. And he tells the man to be quiet, and he tells everybody. Funny. Sad. We have the greatest news, dear church friends, dear followers of Christ. We have the greatest news in history. And we must be a witness. We must be someone who tells, this is what Jesus has done for me. Whether that's at school, whether that's at your job, whether that's at a ball field, like 80% of you were all day yesterday. Do you realize when we go out there and there are more lost people on that Saturday than probably any time in Petal. Now, I'm not saying, some of you are going, oh, great, only lost people play baseball. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's just a lot of people that are there. Hundreds, thousands of people. Did you see a friend across the way? Don't know if they know Christ. Have you told them your story? Have you told them how Jesus changed you and took you from where you were to where you are today? Not in a prideful way, but just in an humble way. Is there a friend that you can invite to Easter service? You would say, Lord, I want to pray for that friend. I want to pray for them, for me to have the opportunity to tell them how Jesus touched me and made me whole. Maybe we think about in our world today, another thought to think through. Are there untouchables in our world? I've seen them. I've been on a mission trip to other parts of the world, and their children, you know, some of us can't even fathom this, but little third and fourth graders and second graders like you guys right here in the front, these couple of rows, and they're walking around and they're begging for something to eat constantly. You walk out of a restaurant and they're on top of you. Can you imagine watching your little 8-year-old child beg so they could live? What about in our culture? What about in our world? Untouchables. Those that are different from us. Those that might have HIV or AIDS. Those that might have some sort of problem. I sometimes there are people that have special needs that we think that are untouchable, that are difficult. Praise God, dear church. Praise God. Can I just brag on you for a minute? I believe our church has a heart for the untouchables. Do you hear me? Tony Ducker, Pat Foley. Those are untouchables in our society. It's true, isn't it? We got two men and others that are going out there every week to our guys that are there on Sundays and ministering to the name of Jesus. How many do you have today? 12 guys today gathered around the Word of God. Some of them, are you ready for this? Got to share this. Hurry. One of the guys is writing lyrics to songs. And Pat has been putting them to music. So one day we're going to have a concert. They're going to share their songs with us. Untouchables. I believe God's going to start a special needs class in our church very, 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 very soon. We had a lady send us on Facebook. She's got two children, have some special needs. Send us on Facebook. I don't know. She may even be here. I have no idea. But they wrote us and said, hey, we got some special needs kids. We're tired and exhausted. We don't know if we can come to church at your church. And we're like, oh, hello. Oh, yes, you can. Others joined our church in recent days can see God putting together a beautiful ministry of some of God's greatest angels on earth. Let us always be looking for the untouchables, that we may be representatives of Jesus. And listen, watch this now, to touch them. I close with this, and we'll be through this morning. I think our first trip to India, we went to an orphanage. I had pled with the girl who had helped us put our trip together to not go to an orphanage. She said, you need to see it. And I said, no, I don't. I don't want to see it. He said, we're going to go to an orphanage, not for kids that are healthy, but for those who have been put out because their parents can't deal with them. Now, many of you know me. I like to be clean. India is one of the dirtiest places on planet Earth. It is a hellhole in many ways. So it's always hard for me to go because I like clean. And I love babies, love to hold children. But I walked into this orphanage with our team of 13, and there were some babies, 10 or so. Some of them ran up. And the one little child, I'll never forget it, the one that runs to me, snotty, dirty, poopy diaper probably. It didn't smell good. She obviously had some special needs. And for a quick moment, I'm going to be honest with you now. Some of you are not going to like this, but I'm just going to be honest with you. For a quick moment, my flesh got a hold of me. I thought, why'd she choose me? Why didn't the kid that was coming this way? I don't want all that all over my clothes. And boy, then God just, are you kidding me, Brad Eubank? So then I was reminded. I was that snotty, dirty child. And God, in His mercy, took me just like I did that little girl. And I held her tight. She looked up at me and just smiled. And that is exactly what Jesus will do for you and for me. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, it is so encouraging. It is celebrating of how amazing you are. What a wonderful, precious God and Savior you are to us, your children. And Lord, that you love every one of us. Sometimes we don't know why or how, but you do. And Lord, this morning for some, as we just stop and pause for just a moment before we have a time of invitation, We would ask, Lord, what is it in my life that I need to be made whole? Where do I need the touch of Jesus in my life? For some, it's for salvation. It's to be born again, to find Christ, to be transformed, to become a Christ follower. And Lord, they can simply do that by admitting they're a sinner, ask you to forgive them of all of their sins, believe you're the Son of God, confess you as Savior, and commit their life to you as Lord for the rest of their days. That's the touch they need this morning. They would cry out, Lord, today, Lord, I am a leper. I have sin that keeps me from you. But Lord, today, I want to ask you to cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness, all of my sin, and make me whole. Maybe for others, Lord, in the quietness of this moment, in the depths of their soul, Lord, there's another area in their life that I don't even know what it is. But Lord, they need your touch in their life. And Lord, here's the great news. You're there waiting. They just need to ask. Or maybe it's for some of us to be called to love the untouchables. In our own sphere of influence, maybe at school, there's some students at school, in the elementary school, or the primary school, or the high school, or middle school. There are some untouchable students at school that nobody else gets around, that they make fun of. That you would call some of these students to rise up and be like Jesus and touch them in the name of Jesus. That our church would continue on the path that we're on to touch the untouchables. It's not always easy. It's a challenge. It's hard sometimes. But Lord, I believe the rewards are great. Maybe others need to come and join this church family and say, you know what, I want to be a part of a church that wants to touch their community and even to the ends of the earth. Others to come to this altar and pray. Father, whatever it is you're calling us to do, I pray we would do it right here and right now. To not walk out unfazed, Lord, to be changed and transformed by you. May we respond now as we sing together in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand with me to sing the worship together. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can make me whole. Would you sing it together? You respond right now. You come.
But can wash away my sin.